Today, of course, is Pentecost Sunday. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with divers tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confused in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed, and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words, and the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you, but the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandments, so do I. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These words are taken from the epistle for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, according to one church historian, 11.4 million Catholics were put to death for the faith in the early centuries of the church. 11.4 million men, women, and children were brutally tortured for the faith and eventually executed because they would not compromise their beliefs. Among these heroic Catholics was a young girl named Eulalia. Saint Eulalia is not a very well-known saint, but she was among the millions who stood up to the pagan governors in the early church. She was born in 290 and was martyred in the year 302. She was thus only 12 years old. Eulalia lived in Merida, a city which is located in Spain on the Iberian Peninsula. Her parents were not only well-to-do citizens of the town, but they were also devout Catholics, and they raised their daughter in the practice of Christian piety. Eulalia was thus faithful to her daily prayers. She loved God, and she loved her Catholic faith very much. One day, a man named Dacian arrived in Merida. He was the pagan governor of Spain, and he hated Christianity. On arriving in the city, Dacian immediately put into effect the mandate of the emperor Diocletian, an order which compelled all men and women without exception to offer sacrifice to the pagan gods. He put this decree into effect. The penalty for refusing to comply with this mandate was torture and execution. To escape the imperial mandate, many Christians fled into hiding, many others were arrested, and they were brought before the governor. Eulalia, this 12-year-old girl, instead of fearing for her life, she was filled with a holy indignation that this man would come to her town and would try to stamp out the light of the true faith. And so she went for herself to see just what transpired at the court of this Dacian. And there she beheld a spectacle that she had never even imagined. She saw the governor in his judgment seat, attended by numerous soldiers and assistants. And before him stood a number of Christians, bound in chains, patiently awaiting the sentence of death. The sight of these brave men and women inspired Eulalia with a heroic courage. And so she made her way through the crowd that had gathered, and this little girl approached the governor. She then proceeded to publicly rebuke him for his cruelty, and then firmly profess her belief in Christ, this 12-year-old girl. Needless to say, the governor was quite shocked and a bit taken aback by her boldness. But on regaining his composure, he tried to win her over. He promised her many gifts. He promised her rewards if she would do but compromise her faith. But to all his entreaties, she remained firm. And so what did he do? He did what all his predecessor governors had done in such a case. If bribes didn't work, he threatened her. And so he threatened this 12-year-old girl with torture and death if she would not renounce her faith. But to all his threats, she remained calm. In a last attempt to move Eulalia to renounce her faith, Dacian ordered that an idol, pagan god, a statue of a pagan god, with a plate of salt and incense, be set up before Eulalia. And he said to her, "Do but touch with the tip of your finger these grains of salt and this incense, and I shall not harm a hair of your head." Eulalia's only response was a silent look. And then in defiance of paganism, she kicked over the table with the idol, the salt, and the incense. "The Holy Ghost will give me strength," she said, "to bear bravely whatever torments you have prepared for me. Gladly will I suffer for Jesus Christ. Burn, cut, tear me asunder," she said. "It is no hard thing to break a fragile vase like this body, but all your tortures cannot reach my soul." Dacian ordered his soldiers to punish her severely, and punish this 12-year-old girl they did. She was first beaten with heavy metal rods, and then put on a rack and stretched until her muscles and limbs began to tear. The soldiers then took large iron hooks and they ripped flesh from her sides. And at length they took burning torches and they applied them to her wounds until she expired. Among her last words were these: "I thank thee, O my God, that thou hast strengthened me in the combat and hast not permitted me to fail under pressure. Lord Jesus Christ, hear my prayer and perfect thy work in me." happened on December 10th in the year 302. On the first Holy Thursday night, when our Lord was arrested in Gethsemane, the apostles panicked and fled. Through weakness, they abandoned their Lord and Master. But when the Holy Ghost came down upon them on that first Pentecost Sunday, he filled them with such strength and courage that they went forth boldly, and they professed and they preached the one true faith throughout the world, preaching and proclaiming that Christ and his faith are the only true ones. He is the true God, and the Catholic faith is the true faith. Even to the point of laying down their lives for the faith. You may recall, St. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. St. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. St. James the Greater was imprisoned and beheaded. St. Thomas had a spear driven through him. St. Bartholomew was flayed alive. St. John, he was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil. And though he miraculously survived, as God had a special plan for him, he is nevertheless considered a martyr because he suffered for Christ and the faith. Though they had fled from our Lord in Gethsemane, in the end, the apostles persevered, and they suffered anything and everything for the sake of Christ. And this they were able to do because of the graces given them on Pentecost Sunday. As the Holy Ghost fortified the apostles, and as he strengthened St. Eulalia, so too does he fortify us. So too does he strengthen us. In virtue of our baptisms, the Holy Ghost dwells in our souls through sanctifying grace. And through the sacrament of confirmation, he strengthens us to bear bravely whatever comes our way in this life. And today, we need his help. We desperately need his grace. We face many dangers in the world today. Dangers to our faith, dangers to our soul, dangers to our eternal salvation. I mean, you know what it's like out there in the world. You know what we are up against. You know what it's like in the workplace, what it's like in the schools, the perversion and brainwashing that goes on in public schools today. You know what people think, the books and articles they read, the way they dress, the movies they watch, the music they listen to, the jokes that they make. You know what pressure there is to go along with the ways of the world. You're very aware of this. And you are aware of the efforts of godless and wicked men to undermine Catholic morality, to corrupt and pervert our children, to overthrow God and his laws, to take away what freedom we have, to practice our Catholic faith pure and entire. You know what we're up against. We are outnumbered. There's no denying that. We are outnumbered. And in a way, we are helpless. Or at least we sometimes feel helpless. But we have to remember something. We have to remember that we have a God on our side. We have to remember that we have a Savior, we have a Deliverer, and we have a King. We have an all-knowing, all-powerful God on our side, and we have a helper in the Holy Ghost. And if we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. The Holy Ghost will give me strength, St. Eulalia said. The Holy Ghost will give me strength. And give her strength, he did, to fearlessly profess her faith in the face of the most brutal torments and tortures. And as he helped her, he will help us. For he is in no less our helper than he was hers. He will help us conquer temptation. He will help us in the practice of virtue. He will comfort us in our sorrows. He will deliver us from the enemies of our soul, and he will brace us to endure whatever hardships come our way, whatever discouragements and worries we face in this life. And he will give us the fortitude we need in these days to remain true to the true faith. Our Lord said, "And when they bring you before the magistrates and the authorities, do not be anxious how or wherewith you shall defend yourselves, or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost will teach you in that hour what you shall say." He will help us, but we have to pray to him for the strength we need. We have to pray to him for the answers we need. We have to pray for him, to him for the help that we need. It can be a prayer in our own words. It can be the Come Holy Ghost prayer. It need not even be a long prayer. But we have to pray to him. We have to ask him for help. Even as we do our part in the fight for the faith and the battle to save our souls, being faithful to our daily prayers, especially the rosary, keeping the commandments, receiving the sacraments as often as we can, and shunning and running from the occasions of mortal sin. If we do our part, the Holy Ghost will do his. May the fire of the Holy Ghost set the hearts of each and every one of us ablaze with love for God, and with love for our holy faith, that we may go forth like Saint Eulalia and so many Catholics before us, conquering temptation, afraid of nothing, discouraged at nothing, worried at nothing, that trusting in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and confident in the power of the Holy Ghost, we may live like the soldiers of Christ that we are. So that at the end of our lives we may say with St. Paul, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And that at our death we may say with St. Eulalia, "I thank thee, O my God, that thou hast strengthened me in the combat and hast not permitted me to fail under pressure. Lord Jesus Christ, hear my prayer and perfect thy work in me." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.